God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the fifth day of April, 2009, and you are listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Special music from our choir and Miss Brenda Waterloo, and then the sermon from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, with his first in a series of Christ is Sufficient for Our Future. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
Lord. I love His ways, and I will bless Him with my praise. He delivers me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, I will proclaim. He's taken all my guilt and shame. He's raised me up and given me His name. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed's he who trusts in Him. I will give praise to God on high. My soul is safe when He is nigh. The Lord, He hears my cry. He gently speaks from up on high. He'll always be so near to those who cry. I sought the Lord, He reaches out. He heals my heart, I have no doubt that He is here to guide me all my days. I sought the Lord.
Amen. Well, good morning. Good to have you with us. We are now, of course, in April and excited about it, Palm Sunday. Next Sunday, of course, Easter Sunday on Wednesday. Because of that, we will be partaking in the Lord's Supper. Looking forward to that. Next Sunday starts our Easter revival that we started 4 or 5 years ago. We'll run Sunday through Wednesday. Excited about that. You'll want to bring your friends and family and neighbors. Always a joyous time here at Central Baptist Church as we pray that God would touch the hearts of people, that we'd see souls saved and lives changed. And it's happened every year. God's just done a wonderful work in the hearts of people. And so make plans to be a part of that naturally. And in that, we just want to be attentive to our guests. We do expect to be full. We will have the overflow area in the Family Life Center open as well. And so we'll want to make use of that as we come to worship the Lord. So a lot will be going on, and you'll want to be plan on being a part of that. Well, Genesis chapter 12, where we're going to be at this morning, we are starting a new series. We had told you that we would, for April and May, do a series on Christ is sufficient for our future. And this morning, as we take a look at that, we're going to look at probably the most essential truth of that. As you look at prophecy, there's one group that you ought to pay attention to, and that's Israel. Matter of fact, the title of this morning's message is Keep an Eye on Israel. If you want to know what's happening next, watch Israel. We are living in unprecedented times, no debate. Never before in the history of prophecy have we been able to connect the dots clearer than we are today. Of all the books you've read on prophecy, of every message you've ever heard on prophecy, I'm telling you, today you're living it. Okay, totally different. When I got saved, we went to a prophecy conference 30 years ago when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And from that, heard about the end times and came to the Lord. But even 30 years later, we know more today and it's clearer today than ever before. We're going to study such topics as a one world government, one world religion. Shouldn't be a surprise to you, China asked for one world currency just a couple weeks ago. Not brand new. The world is poised for one world currency and a one world government right now. You're living it. We're watching it. We're going to be a part of it before Jesus Christ comes back. And as you look at all this, you're like, we're there. All these elements are happening in front of us. One of the messages we hope to hit is Gog and Magog. Yes, the coming attack by Iran and Russia against Israel. It is coming. Just watch the news. Right now, Iran is developing nuclear weapons. Israel's already said if they develop those weapons, they will go in and they will take it out. Well, what's going to happen when that happens? Russia's an ally with Iran. Thus, Ezekiel 38 and 39, which we'll look at, will then come to pass. As Iran and Russia and other nations go to attack this little bitty nation called Israel, you're living in the last days. On and on we could go with all the events that are taking place. We're going to highlight just several of these. There's too many to highlight and to go through. But for the next 2 months, we're looking to highlight these topics. And the main one, if you want to know what to keep an eye on, you keep an eye on a little bitty nation, this little bitty tiny nation that continues to be in the news, a nation called Israel. Turn with us to Genesis chapter 12, if you would. Genesis chapter 12. Let's stand as we give honor unto God's word. We're going to look at today a promise made to this nation all the way back in the beginning. Genesis chapter 12. It is known as the Abrahamic covenant. There are six covenants in the Old Testament. This one primarily deals with the prophetic nature of Israel. And so we want to look at this. But some promises were given to Israel that we need to look at because it will help us understand what's taking place today. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moriah. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." Lord, we come to you now. We thank you and praise you for the reading of your word. Now, Lord, as we place our physical and spiritual eyes upon this nation of Israel, this people that you have called your people, the apple of your eye, your chosen, your elect, as the Bible says. Lord, this nation that you've given to us as a visual reminder of the promises that you have made, of the things to come, that, Lord, our hearts and minds would be open today. I pray for those that are here, Lord, who still are holding back from accepting you as their Lord and Savior, who are holding back from putting their full faith in you, that today would be the day that their hearts, mind would be open, and Lord, their hearts would receive you. For those who are not living the way that they should, Lord, that they would realize the necessity of serving you even today, Lord, of changing their life and changing their direction, for the end times surely are near. And Lord, we are thanking and praise you, Lord, that you are sufficient even in our future. Lord, we come not to these sermons with fear, but we come with praise, knowing that you've warned us of the things to come and given us time to prepare. So may we prepare, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. When Ahmadinejad became the president of Iran in 2005, the reality of the Arabs' hate for Israel became more vocally known than probably ever before. Oh, it's no secret that the Arabs hate Israel. However, when he became the president, it was the first time a major nation openly threatened to annihilate another nation. He openly said in 2005, "I will wipe Israel off the face of the earth and America as well." This is no secret. You can go to almost any media press release to find that information back in 2005. He's against Christians. He's against Jews. He believes, he told his associates that he believes the end of the world is near and that he has been chosen by Allah to hasten the coming of the Islamic Messiah, known as the 12th Imam, or the Mahdi, by launching a final holy war against Christians and Jews. He publicly vowed to annihilate both the United States and Israel. In another address to the United Nations General Assembly in New York, he stunned the audience with this prayer: "Almighty Lord, I pray you to hasten the emergence of your last repository, the promised one, that perfect and pure human being, the one that will fill this world with justice and peace." Later that month in Tehran, he continued, he said, "Is it possible for us to witness a world without America and Zionism?" He then went on to say, "You had best know that this slogan and this goal are attainable and surely can be achieved." He then urged Muslims around the world to prepare for the day when our holy hatred expands and strikes like a wave, October 26, 2005. This was quoted from the Muslim Media News. The fact of the matter is this: there is a man in power right now developing nuclear weapons who hates our very existence, and he hates the nation of Israel. Why? Why would such a small nation come under such hate? Why would such a small little country with only 5.4 million people, as far as Jews, they have other people, but 5 million Jews come under such attack, not just there, but from around the world? In Sunday school, I explained how the EU just met in the last 2 weeks. And they're now making sanctions against the nation of Israel, that they do not accept a Palestinian state, that they will not recognize them as a nation. Hey, they've been a nation since 1948. They will actually revoke 60 years of being a nation if they do not allow terrorists, Hamas, terrorists, to form a state right next to them. Which is surprising to me, since we've spent the last how many years fighting terrorism globally? And here we are, America and Europe going against it. And yet when it comes to this little nation of Israel, we're basically backing up saying, do whatever you want. Why? The world hates the Jews. But why would you hate such a people? Why would you hate such a people that are sitting there? Such a small, seemingly insignificant people. They are less than 2/3 of 1% of the world. Are you aware of that? Less than 2/3 of 1% of the world. That's what the Jews make up. There are 5.4, according to 2007, in the nation of Israel. About 5 million Jews reside in the United States of America. And you ought to thank God for that, by the way. We'll get into that here in just a minute. You ought to thank God we have that many Jews here right now. The fact of the matter is, God has done something special with the nation of Israel. God has placed them in a special protection. You say, well, then why did they come under so much trouble? Well, in Deuteronomy 4:27, the Bible says that he would scatter them around the world if they disobeyed his commands. And so when they began disobeying God's commands, God began to scatter them. They did not have a nation until 1948, as I said. They were in all the nations of the world. Before that, you know what happened in Germany, which was interesting to me. Of the 10 million that the Germans put to death, 6 million were Jews. Targeted particularly. Isn't that interesting? Why would you target a people who don't even have a nation? Why are you so worried about this little insignificant group of people? And yet they had prosperity, they had rank, they had all these things going for them. And Hitler, which I believe being motivated by Satan himself, said, listen, we're going to wipe them out. Why? Why? Because what you don't understand is this. As you look at all the physical things taking place, may I help you to back up for just a minute? It's not the physical you need to worry about. It's the spiritual you need to worry about. All that's happening in front of us right now is nothing more than prophecy coming to pass of God's timetable coming down the pike. And as it all comes down the pike, isn't it interesting that the great battle of God versus Satan is taking place in our world right now? And you see all these forces going against one little bitty tiny nation that God elected and God chose to be the apple of his eye. God said, this will be my people. This will be my nation and I will bless them. That is why Satan cannot stand them. And that is why Satan tried to wipe them out in Hitler's time. That is why Satan, on the day they became a nation, the next day they went to war. Are you aware of that? The next day they had a war. And for the time they've been in a nation, they've had war after war after war after Sunday school. I think Brother Matt said, have they ever had peace? You know, the fact of the matter is, I don't know that they will ever have peace until Jesus Christ comes back and gives them peace. Why? They're a hated nation. Why? Because they are God's timepiece. They are God's chosen. And because of that, you better keep an eye on Israel. Everything that happens will funnel from Israel. Every major event that's taking place, and the war that's coming up that's going to take place, all that's happening will happen because of the nation of Israel. And we have been warned about this for thousands and thousands of years. And yet now we're living in a generation where we see it coming to pass. Because of that and all the information around it, I want to focus primarily in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. The reason we want to focus there is there's so much information about the Jews. We would not have time. It would take us literally weeks upon weeks to try to discuss all of it. But I want to give you a highlight. I want to give you just a highlight from Genesis chapter 12 of some things that God promised the Jews that we see happening even today. It begins here, first of all, in Genesis chapter 12. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. Number one, I want to talk about the blessings upon Abraham. God said, I will bless Abraham. Matter of fact, God said the Jews, which come out of Abraham, will be a very blessed people. Looked up some stats on that. David Jeremiah did a series and he quoted some stats I thought was interesting. He said, of the 777 Nobel Prize winners, are you ready? 176 have been awarded to the Jews. 23% of all the Nobel Prize winners in the world are Jews. Okay, that's phenomenal. They're 2/3 of 1% of the total population of the world, yet they make up 23% of the Nobel Prize winners. That's astounding. Mark Twain said this, Jews constitute but 1%, less than that, of the human race. It suggests a nebulous dim puff of stardust in the blaze of the Milky Way. Properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of, but he is heard of. He is prominent on this planet as any other people. His commercial importance is extravagantly out of proportion to the smallness of his bulk. His contributions to the world's list of great names in literature, science, art, music, finance, medicine, and abstruse learning are also altogether out of proportion to the weakness of his numbers. He has made a marvelous fight in the world in all ages, and he has done it with his hands tied behind his back. Having no land, almost wiped out, the Jews have impacted our world probably more than any other nation on the face of the earth. You realize the city of Jerusalem has probably had more battles than any other city in the world. It has been fought over than any other place in the world. You go and you look at the center of what's taking place, and it all funnels around this little nation called Israel, the Jews. Why? But why? Could it be because all the way back here in Genesis chapter 12, that God said, I will bless thee, and I will make sure that you as a people are blessed? And so for all these generations, you can look back with everyone who came against them and every nation that tried to wipe them out. Somehow, miraculously, these people without a land, without a nation that was in Babylon until now, suddenly are still surviving and thriving. I mean, what other nation can be under such persecution and war and still be one of the most prosperous on the face of the earth? Unless God and his promise in Genesis chapter 12 was coming to pass. Not only did he say he would bless them, look at the next place. He said, I will make a great nation out of you. Look at Genesis chapter 13, if you would. Genesis chapter 13, just one chapter over. Verse 14 and 15, he enlarges this promise to Abraham. And he said, the Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. God enlarges his promises, Genesis chapter 12, and he says, I will make a great nation. I will give you a land and a throne. Interesting to me, the Arabs claim that this little piece of land here, known as the state of Israel, belongs to them. And they quote wars, and they quote captivity, and they quote the fact that they've dominated and controlled it longer than the Jews have ever controlled it. There's just one small problem with that. God said it's the Jews. The fact of the matter is, you don't have to worry about the debate. If you follow the news and this Palestinian state that they want to create and all that they want to do, let me just help you with this. It doesn't matter what the world says. God says, hey, guess what? That and more than that belong into Israel. Why? Almighty God said so. He reiterated in Genesis 17, again in Genesis 22. You said, yeah, but there are no buts, folks. God says it's their land, and he gave it to them back then forever. And as they came back in 1948, all this land now belongs to, well, then why are the Arabs fighting for it? Might want to help you wake up a little bit. Let me help you. All religions are not the same, and all religions do not worship Jehovah God. And let me help you with all those that have stood up and said, but the Muslims are just a nice peacekeeping religion and everything's okay. Let me help you. They do not believe in Jesus Christ and Jehovah God. They follow their own prophet. They follow Allah, which means this. They do not possess eternal life. The one Messiah they're waiting for is not Jesus Christ. He's already come. That only leaves one other Messiah coming. You might know him as the Antichrist. Put the pieces together, folks. It's very plain and clear as you begin to discuss everything. Why are they fighting so hard? Well, because all the way back in Genesis, you might remember this battle between a guy by the name of Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael being the illegitimate son of Abraham, where all the Arab nations come from. And all the way back then, he tried to claim the promises that were given unto Isaac, which are the Jewish people. And from that point on, like two good brothers, they have fought and fought and fought. And to this day, they're still fighting. There's just one problem. We read the rest of the story. And the rest of the story, the end of the story says this, the Jews get it. Now, let me help you with this. Nobody will wipe out the Jews. They will not be annihilated. Yeah, but Iran's got nuclear weapons, they're going to bomb them. It's not going to take place. You say, how do you know that? The Bible tells us. The fact of the matter at this point, as we're coming to the end of prophecy, God said he would regather the Jews. He'd put them in a land. He would develop a throne for them. That's all taking place right now. And as that's taking place, all the prophecy is beginning to funnel down. All the prophecy of the rapture coming, the tribulation, the battle of Gog and Magog, the battle, all this is coming down the pike. And as it does, understand this. Israel, who is back in their land, will stay in their land. Well, how do you know, preacher? Because the Bible tells us so. And guess what? It's never been wrong one time. It was promised to them. It was given to them. They will stay there. The fact of the matter is, Rabbi Abraham said this, which I thought was neat. He said the love of this land was due to an imperative, not an instinct, not to a sentiment. There is a covenant, an engagement of the people to the land. We live by covenants. Matter of fact, six of them in the Old Testament. We could not betray our pledge or discard the promise. When Israel was driven into exile, the pledge became a prayer. The prayer a dream. The dream a passion, a duty, a dedication. It is a commitment we must not betray. To abandon the land would make a mockery of all our longings, prayers, and commitments. To abandon the land would be to repudiate the Bible. Why? Because it belongs to the Jews. Second promise, a land. They are heading back. It is growing. And they will continue to live there. Number three, I will make Abraham a blessing to many. He said, verse 2, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I wrote down some of the blessings. You realize that we have the Bible today because of the Jews? Are you aware of that? The Bible you hold in your hand was written by Jews. Which means, guess what? The Christianity we have today, guess where it came from? The Jews. So your Bible, your Christianity, your worship today would not be here if it weren't for the Jews, God's chosen people. Jesus was a Jew. The basis of our laws here in our land come from the Ten Commandments. Guess where the Ten Commandments come? The Jews. This insignificant nation that supposedly has no importance has impacted the whole world. And let's take a step further. All the world would be blessed. Well, how are we all blessed? Because of the Jews. Can I remind you that Jesus Christ was a Jew? And starting today, Palm Sunday, we celebrate the last week of Jesus Christ. When on Easter, guess what? Next Sunday, he resurrected from the grave and gave salvation to all mankind. It was a Jew that saved all mankind. The fact of the matter, if we did not have the Jews, we wouldn't have Jesus. Without Jesus, you don't have salvation. You and I are Gentiles by nature. And as Gentiles, Romans 11, we are grafted in because of the redemption of Jesus Christ. And by the way, you ought to thank God for that redemption. And as we celebrate all this week, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, may I encourage this. Make sure you know him as your personal Lord and Savior. Just knowing he died, just knowing he buried, just knowing he resurrected does nothing for you. It's called religion. I guarantee you millions of people will celebrate this next Sunday. And many of those will die and go straight to hell. Why? They've never put their faith in Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is, it is so sad to see that we celebrate something so important, yet so many know so little about it. It's not enough to go participate. It's not enough to be in a service. What it is there must be a place and time in your life when you humbled yourself before this Jew, this Jesus, and you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And without it, we have nothing but religion. But praise God, we have more than that. We have Jesus Christ. Folks, he has changed our life. He was a Jew. We are blessed people because of him. He's impacted every nation on the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, we studied in Sunday school, Romans chapter 11, the Jews are being scattered by God. The Jews coming under this attack by God was actually a blessing to us. Because God then went to the Gentile people and said, I will make the church and I will bless the church. And he basically, are you ready? You know why the church is blessed today? And once again, it revolves around the Jews. The only reason we have a church today, are you aware of this, is because the Jews rejected Jesus Christ. The only reason you and I are meeting today is because the Jews decided they would not set up Jesus as Messiah. Instead, they crucified him under the guidelines of Satan himself. By doing that, Jesus Christ said, okay, I'm going to show you what you missed. And he set up the church, the dispensation of grace. And through that, you and I meet today, are you ready? Because of the, if you want to say, the bad luck of the Jews. So even in that, we say, thank you, Jew. You know why? Because we meet and we have grace and we have the blessings of God because of what they did. Listen, folks, we are blessed because of this people. But it didn't stop there. Look at the last phrase. He says, I will bless them in chapter 3 that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. Now, let me tell you something. America sides with the Jews. And I'm going to help you a little farther. And you and I better continue to side with the Jews until Jesus Christ comes back. You do not have to agree with everything that they do. I cannot tell you that every decision that the Jewish government has ever made that I agree with. I don't know. I've not studied it out. Well, why haven't you studied it out, preacher? Because I really don't care. You said, what do you mean? Really, I don't care because God's blessing them and God's using them. And whatever they decide to do, I only have one command. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. You ever hear a preacher stand up and say, if God doesn't judge America, he needs to apologize because of our abortion and our homosexuality and our gross sin. You ever hear that? I've heard it for years. Preachers stand up and say, you need to just judge America. Can I tell you why America's not being judged? We're not being judged because we're this great Christian nation. Let me help you with that. The basis of Christianity has been long gone in America. Okay, now I love America. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad I'm an American, and I'm glad we have the freedoms we do. But you cannot look at our government anymore and say, now that's a Christian government. Okay, and you haven't been able to do that for years. Let me help you with that. That's not been like a new thing. Not because of the new president. We have not been a regime that operates on Christian principles. We've been eroding those for years and years and years. And yet we have the title of Christian because of our religious background and so forth, and that's wonderful. But the fact of the matter is this. It's not like we've been doing it great. It's not like all of our moral laws are right on target. Okay? We've got more pornography and immorality and, man, more debauchery than you can ever imagine. This is not a pretty thing in the sight of God. But then why hasn't God wiped us out? I mean, God, read the Bible. Nations that turn away from God, he literally destroys them. Could it be because of the promises of Genesis 12:3? I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. I firmly believe there's only one reason that America is protected today. We don't have the full judgment of God. We are the one nation that fully sides with Israel. And if that stops, you better hang on. Because if that stops, folks, we have enough sin in our past and present as a nation that the judgment of God would have to come down because he's done it on every other nation that's gone that way. But there's a protection there for those that bless Israel. The fact of the matter is I firmly believe that we are safe today because of our backing of the nation of Israel. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm a little worried about our present administration, the direction we're headed. The fact of the matter, reports coming out of Washington in just the first 4 months is that the side taken with Israel is going to be a stronger stance. And that stronger stance is going to be try to put pressure on them to give in to a Palestinian state and to give in to the Arabs. Now, once again, that land belongs to the Jews. I told in Sunday school, I told them they're going to get a prelude. But really, what other country in the world would allow their neighbor to shoot 60 to 80 rockets into their land every single day? You're probably not aware of that because the news doesn't like to report that. The only time the news reports that is when Israel retaliates. But are you aware of right now, every single day, 60 to 80 rockets get launched into Israel right now? You want to know what the world's take on that is? Here, let me help you with that. Well, there's very few casualties, so what's the big deal? You think if Mexico lined up on the border and shot 60 to 80 missiles into America and started hitting our desert, we'd go, there's very few casualties. What's the big deal? Well, let me help you with that. We'd be in there like that. We'd take our army and say, so you want to shoot missiles? Would you like to see what a real missile is? Trust me, ours are bigger and better, okay? I mean, so we would say, what if Canada decided we don't like you, we're going to shoot missiles? You think we'd stand by and go, well, they're just little. What if Cuba decided to start shooting missiles into Florida and Miami? You know, as long as they didn't hit people, it's okay. I mean, the logic of that makes no sense at all. And yet, why isn't it in the major news? Why isn't all over the news what's happening in Israel every single day? How terrorists are going in and killing constantly kids and children and all these things that are taking place. And rockets are being launched. No. No, why? Because there's an attitude that says, we don't like the Jews. Let me help you with that. You better like the Jews. Because I'm going to bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Let me help you with this. Are you ready? Prediction for prophecy. Any nation that rises up against the Jews will lose. In 1948, they became a nation. How would you like to go to war the next day after you became a nation? They did. A few years after that, they had a six-day war. One of my favorite wars to read about. I love reading about the six-day war. You say, why? Because this little bitty nation with their small air force went in and took out over 400 bombers and MiG jets from Russia in 6 days. They wiped them out. They fought off Egypt and Syria and Jordan. And all these nations that gathered against them, this little bitty nation that didn't even have the number of people they have right now. And God said, that ain't happening. 1973, Egypt came back against them. Other reasons, Suez Canal, different things like that. Another war ensued. And from there until now, there's been all these breakouts and wars. And every time, are you ready? Every time Israel wins. Outnumbered, overpowered, and every time they win. Why? I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. Why? Because we're now in the last days of prophecy. And when that takes place, when you read all the events about Israel, when God restores their land, when God restores and regenerates them to the place that he wants, which took place in 1948, from that point on, they will not lose. There is a special blessing upon them. Well, what do you think our stance should be? Let me help you. You better pray for and love Israel. You said, why? Because without the Jews, we don't have the church today. And without the Jews, folks, we don't have all that's taking place with prophecy. And yet all that's taking place is because of them. Let me conclude here with some thoughts that about some of the Israeli prophecy coming up. Future prophecies. Number one, Israel's regathering. Ezekiel 36 and 38, which we will hit in detail here in a few weeks. Bible says in Ezekiel 38:8, after many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Statistics show the regathering has already taken place. If you go back and look, all across the world, Jews are going back to their homeland. Why? The regathering of the prophecies happened. Number two, Israel under siege. Lord willing, in a couple weeks, we're going to talk about Gog and Magog and how this little bitty nation, and by the way, we'll just let you know right now, there is going to be a major battle. Iran and Russia will attack Israel. Okay? Iran and Russia will attack Israel. Mark it down. You say, how do you know that? Ezekiel 38 and 39. Lord willing, 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to cover that in some detail and show what's going to take place. But just mark it down. That's the next big prophecy. You say, is that going to be in our lifetime? Most likely so. We don't know the exact timeline of that, but most likely in conjunction, probably pretty close to the rapture time. Okay? And very likely before the rapture, they will go in and have a battle. You say, why? Because God's already predicted it. He's listed the nations that will be involved in it. And interesting enough, every one of them are hostile towards Israel right now. Well, why would Russia get involved? Well, don't forget, Russia and Iran are allies. And when either us or Israel, most likely Israel, go in and take out the nuclear reactor in Iran, guess what's going to take place? War. It's going to happen. Number three, Israel's deception. One of the great things we're going to discuss, too, is the Antichrist. As the Antichrist comes, remember, Israel has not accepted the Messiah yet. They will actually be deceived, like most of the world, and they will accept the Antichrist as the Messiah. It's prophesied here in the Word of God. And as all the Jews begin to accept one man, and they begin looking at him as a Messiah, you better wake up. Okay? And as that takes place, and he becomes, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think we're going to know who that is. I think we'll be gone by that time. We have enough zealot-minded individuals that someone would probably take him out. But the fact of the matter is, when that person comes, the whole Jewish nation will be deceived. And then all of a sudden, they're going to wake up about halfway through tribulation. And God's going to give them, as Jeremiah 31 says, a brand new heart. And the whole nation of Israel will turn back to God. They'll totally be restored and regenerated. They'll all turn in faith and realize that Jesus Christ was the Messiah that they had missed 2,000 years earlier. And they will all begin worshiping him all at once as they recognize that Satan, the Antichrist, had deceived them. That's the next great thing coming as well. Number four, Israel's prophecy, Israel's trouble. For years, we've heard of this thing called the tribulation. Now, I don't know what it is, but I don't know if it's one of those things you just hear so much about, people just start ignoring. We don't have time this morning to go through it. But can I just remind you what the Bible says is coming up next? If we look at our prophecy, we look at Israel, what's going to happen. We see Gog and Magog coming. We see this Antichrist coming, and it's not Obama. Let me just get rid of it right now. Okay, but when this Antichrist, what it might be, comes on the scene and begins leading people and so forth, the Jews will even accept and follow this individual. Then all of a sudden there's a rapture, which I'm excited to get to that one. That's going to be good. Where the church is removed and we're taken out from this wrath to come. And as the church is removed, then there's 7 years of tribulation. Are you aware that 7 years is number one to punish the Gentiles? But primarily above that, it is restore the nation of Israel back to God. And it's 7 years of judgment upon the nation of Israel for all of their sins and all their abandonment of God as he brings the whole nation back. And then there's this great battle of Armageddon, which, oh, by the way, takes place in Israel. Well, that's interesting. And then Jesus Christ comes back and he has a new Jerusalem that we're going to talk about. And he sets that up in, once again, Israel. Isn't that weird? Literally the epicenter of everything taking place in your world and mine is Israel. Is Israel. So what do we do with Israel? Well, let me tell you what you do. I think without a doubt, we as a church should be very vocal in our promotion and understanding of thus saith the Word of God. And I think it's probably time that we get back to studying the Scriptures so that we become a people knowledgeable about what is coming forth. And as we become knowledgeable about world events and what's taking place and how they match up with Scripture and how all the dots are being put together, as people are sitting around in coffee shops, sitting around at work and saying, man, I can't believe this is happening. We can look and say, well, you need to believe it's in the Bible. Well, what do you mean it's in the Bible? Iran and Russia going against Israel's in the Bible? You bet. You might want to read Ezekiel 38, 39. You don't think that maybe some lost person might be a little interested in that? You don't think some lost person might start saying, you mean God's predicting all this? Yeah, I can tell you what's happening next. It's not because I'm some genius. It's just I read what's called the Bible. I can tell you we're going to have a one-world government. I can tell you we're going to have this one-world currency. I can tell you there's going to be this one-world dictator come on the scene. I can tell you. How do you know? Because God predicted it way before you and I ever were even thought of. And it's all in one place. The book. The book given to us by the Jews. So number one, I think it's time we get back into the book. I think it's time we understand what's coming to place. Number two, this is not a time for us to live in fear. You know why I'm not scared about this? I read the end of the book. Yeah, it's nice when you can go to the book of Revelation and go, hey, what's going to happen? This is not a scary time. I don't know about you, it's a glorious time. Hey, we're going to have the best bailout in history. It's called the rapture. And America's got nothing on bailouts like we got coming, man. And I'm just going to leave a note. You can have it all. Make the payments. Good luck. What a wonderful bailout, man. That's going to be great. Man, we don't need to. I'm amazed as Christians. It's not fearful. It's exciting. Man, you should be on the edge of your seat and say, man, I can't wait to see what's going to happen next. Man, I love the internet now. Man, I've subscribed to several things. I get emails about what's happening in Israel and stuff. Why? Because they're the epicenter of the world. So I'm watching what's taking place, and I'm excited about the new leaders that are coming on the scene. Why? Because as you listen to what they're saying, they understand prophecy. They know what's coming down the pike. And instead of being fearful, I'm going, woohoo! It's time to go home. Time to go home. You do remember you're just a passing through. Okay, this isn't our home. This is just kind of a short, temporary place. But we've been called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and help other people get saved. But as we're building our little kingdoms here on earth, everybody's getting afraid of finances and everything. Don't be afraid. Not one believer should be afraid. Why? Because we're going to live eternity with Jesus Christ. Why would you be afraid of that? If there's any fear, it ought to be on those people in the world who know not Jesus Christ. The only ones who ought to fear is this. Those who, living like the Jews, blinded from the true Messiah, Jesus. And by the way, most Jews, you do realize today, are not saved. They will not be saved until God gives them a new heart or they accept Jesus Christ before that time. So even though they're God's chosen people, they're not going to heaven. Now, think about that. They're God's chosen people. But for right now, they're in this desert. They're wayward. And because of their own religion, they're not going to heaven. Hey, no different than living in America. Just because they call us a Christian nation, you live in America and go to church, you're not guaranteed heaven, folks. You only get heaven by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, the way the Bible says. I think there's going to be millions of people. Now, seriously, I really believe this. There's going to be millions of people after the rapture show up at church the next Sunday. Because the whole time, they just played Christianity. It wasn't serious to them. It wasn't real to them. They goofed off. They played. They just thought it was a joke. Or in their heart, they were just fooling. Whatever the scenario is, doesn't really matter. But I'm going to tell you, they're going to show up wanting somebody, and hopefully all the ministers will be gone. I doubt that, but I'm hoping. That one's a major question, trust me. But the fact of the matter is, why? Folks, just like the Jews are blinded, the church who's been sent, guess what, is blinded. Matter of fact, there's a great apostasy the Bible talks about coming. And folks, I don't know about you, but you look at so many people turning away from the things of God. And if we're not there, we are on the precipice of a great big apostasy. Now, that doesn't mean people aren't going to get saved and lives aren't insurance. But I think as a whole, as you look at Europe, they're basically atheistic. Did you see the other day? They're actually now applying online for revoking of their baptism. Now, of course, we're not Catholic and so forth, so that's not of primary interest to us. The only interest was this. They're actually going vocal that they're removing themselves from the churches. And many of them saying, because I'm atheistic. Amazing. People are basically saying, I don't believe there's a God. The only people out of fear right now are those who don't know God. And if you don't, can I challenge you? With everything inside of me, this is not the time to ignore what's taking place in our world. This is not the time to just coast and think about your own little world, your own little finances, your own little life. Because I'm warning you right now, God has given us a visual picture, a timetable, a group of people that if we'll watch, will let us know what's happening next. With all this warning that's there, can you imagine the number of people that have the warning in front of them and do nothing about it? Nothing at all. Folks, there's no longer time to delay. It's real simple. If you're here today on Palm Sunday and you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ, today's the day. And secondly, if you're a born-again believer Isn't it time? Isn't it time in 2009 we got serious about Jesus Christ and serving God? Because only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. Only what's done for him will matter. No matter what you've attained, no matter goals you have, accomplishments you have, homes you have, all that will be useless. What's going to matter is, what are you doing for Jesus Christ right now? I hope the next 2 months in our prophecy series, as we look at the events surrounding Israel and what God says is coming next, that it will challenge and motivate our hearts to do more for Jesus Christ than we've ever done before. Instead of sitting around waiting for him to come, we'll do what the Bible says. We'll be busy. We'll be busy so that when he comes, he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servants." Because I'm convinced there are people in Ponca City, Newkirk, Shidler, God City, Blackwell, all around us who are lost and on their way to hell. And unless we get serious about sharing our faith, they'll be around it, but they'll never find it. And it's our job to bring them to Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Lord, we come to now. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this visual picture of Israel. And as we anxiously watch them in the coming months, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be encouraged and strengthened as we realize, Lord, the truth of your word. For years, different prophecies have been preached and promoted. Some have mocked, laughed, scorned, and many do today. That's okay, Lord. That bothers us not, for we know the truth of your word. Lord, my concern is for those, I know we have people come into Central Baptist Church who are lost. Dads, moms who really don't know you. Lord, these are serious times. These are not times to play around and play games with our eternal life. Lord, I pray that you give them the courage and the power to come forward today and to put their faith and trust in you, and let someone take the Bible and show them how they can truly be saved from the wrath to come, Lord. And Lord, I pray for Christians. Many hear that we've been caught up with our own lives, our own way, Lord. And we've forgotten about those around us, the impending destruction and wrath that is coming, detailed out in the book of Daniel and Revelations. Lord, I pray to help us get serious. There's some that need to come and say, "Lord, help me to serve more and do more for you than I've ever done before." And then, Lord, may we as a church continue to pray for the nation of Israel, as they truly are the center of all that takes place in your timeline. We thank you and praise you now for the Jews, for what they brought to us, for our salvation. We ask that you do a work in our hearts today, as only you can do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by and visit us just 1 mile north of Ponca at the intersections of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you. Have a great week, and thank you again for listening.